Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I wanted to tell you about the significant noise that we're hearing in the back of our sanctuary outside. And to me, it's a sound of beauty. It's like the sound of children in church. It's a sound that, although maybe a bit dissonant, is beautiful nonetheless. The church that is building and renovating and changing and growing is indeed a wonderful gift, both inside with God's children as well as the sanctuary without. The basis for today's meditation is recorded in Hebrews 7, verses 23 through 25. These words: "The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save the utmost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives and makes intercession for them." This is the text. So we move from temporary priest to serving the eternal high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The great writer of the book of Hebrews challenges us this morning. It centers around the role of finite priests, in contrast, and pointing to the great and exalted high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The former priesthood was a material one with physical adornment, tabernacle, sacrifices, and with pardon soaked in ritual. Material were all its appointments of the old priesthoods. Thus, the role of priest is spelled out in Numbers 18, when the Lord God says, "You are to be responsible for the care of the sanctuary and the altar so that my wrath will not fall on the Israelites again. I myself have selected you, fellow Levites, from among the Israelites as a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord, to do the work in the tent of meeting. But only you and your sons may serve as priests in connection with serving at the altar and inside the curtain. I am giving you the service of the priesthood as a gift. Anyone else who comes near the sanctuary is to be put to death." The high priest duties, written in Leviticus 4, including presenting the sin offering for himself and the congregation. In Leviticus 16, we read of special functions on the Day of Atonement. Overall, the high priest supervised worship and the other priests. All of these roles and function of both priest and high priest, they help us. They both point to Christ and the need for Jesus to be our great high priest and sacrifice for the sins of all people. Not at regular cycles of the worship calendar, nor for religious festivals on a regular basis, not for any work, not for any labor, effort on our part, but once and for all. In a sermon preached by Luther on Christ our Priest, he said this: "The new order is a spiritual priesthood with spiritual adornments, spiritual tabernacle and sacrifices, spiritual in all that pertains to it, Christ, in the exercise of his priestly office, in the sacrifice on the cross. He was not ordained with silk and gold and precious stones, but with divine love, wisdom, patience, obedience, and all virtues. His adornment was apparent to none but God and possessors of the Holy Spirit, for it was spiritual." So Luther points out the dichotomy between spiritual versus material and highlights the eternality of Christ, our high priest. It is a wonderful comparison. Using the priest of the Old Testament with their multiple roles and responsibilities, their many functions to point to Christ as the cleansing and the sacrifice are very, very important. We are, after all, a broken and sinful people. All the priestly ritualistic movements, all the blood of animals forfeited for us, enough blood to fill an ocean, would not be enough to save such a rebellious, hard-headed, and stiff-necked people. It is the person and work of Christ that grants us complete forgiveness and absolution of all our sins, and at the same time gives us life and hope and happiness and joy as we live as forgiven people. The matter of priest-pastor is certainly not foreign to you. It is perhaps the primary reason for pastoral formation taught at this seminary. At the heart of systematic, exegetical, historical, and practical theology, ultimately the question is, what is a pastor? Many years are spent studying, processing, savoring the topic with lively discussion, the reading of Luther and his passion for pastoral ministry, or simply reflecting on your gifts of ministry with a fellow classmate over an aromatic cup of coffee. What do we make of clergy? What do we make of pastors? Our identity, our distinctiveness. From this springs forth issues that drive matters to the very depth of our soul. Who we are. What you consider God's calling, his vocatio for you to be. According to the book of Hebrews, even the best aren't perfect due to one standardized flaw. Temporal. Finite. They die. We too are not perfect, but we are not to wallow in our flaws, but run to the grace of God with thanksgiving. As a baptized child of God, you are already set apart as a forgiven child for his holy purpose. As a redeemed child of God in Christ, you are called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You hear often that your sins are forgiven. Yes, you participate at the table of our Lord Jesus and receive his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar for the forgiveness of sins. Yes, you gather as a body of believers and proclaim the goodness of our God and the greatness of his love for his bride, the church. It is the blood of Jesus, our high priest, who saves us. You who seek the office know that time is of the essence. We, the church, are so thankful for you. The church has great need for you. The military chaplaincy to which I served for 31 years requires your services. As Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. You who teach, train, and mentor, we hold a special love in our heart for what you do. To the families, we know your sacrifice. Thank you. Thank you so very much. You are a true gift from our Heavenly Father. The joy of Jesus is in his eternalness and perpetuality to provide salvation for all. This includes you. All of you. We have Christ as our high priest, performing the sacrifice and being the sacrifice for us all. It is a joy to no longer have a role as the Old Testament Levitical temporary priest. It is a joy to have Jesus as the high priest. To pull those two together, not long ago, I was presenting at a conference on caring for veterans and ran into an old friend, a classmate, a fellow pastor. I asked him, I said, "Hey, Bill, how did Sunday services go?" He was picking me up from the airport. He said, and you could see a twinkle in his eye, he said, "Oh, just another typical Sunday. The mystery of the Lord Jesus was revealed in his word. We partook of his body and blood in the bread of wine. Jesus forgave hundreds of their sins. We heard words of comfort and assurance found only when God himself comes to us and loves us and knows us through Jesus. Just another ordinary Sunday." May you look to the great high priest Jesus. Through faith, grasp onto his eternal flowing robe. Seek his forgiveness and serve him with joy. From temporal priest to the eternal high priest, it is in his holy and precious name we ask this, our great high priest, Jesus. Amen.